My name is Tim Hansen, and I've lived here at the village for about 2.5 years, serving in the village as fire chief. I've also had the privilege of sort of facilitating or helping this conversation about gay and lesbians, sort of continue on here in the village. Last summer and this summer, I have hosted the Out in the Open conversation every other week, and it's a different thing each time, which is really exciting for me. It all depends on who has chosen to come to the sessions. This isn't the type of session where you're just going to be presented with a bunch of information. I'm not here to teach, necessarily. But I am here to try to create a safe and comfortable spot where all opinions and ideas and questions will be respected and welcomed. To say that it's okay if we have differing thoughts and views and ideas, and even if we're Lutheran, we can converse about that. It's okay to disagree, but we're here to learn from one another and to ask questions and sort of have a dialogue, an open dialogue.
Is your starting point going to be gay and lesbians in the church as clergy, or anywhere? I mean, is that what?
We're everywhere, so we should just make it everywhere. But perhaps that is sometimes where the conversation goes, you know, goes back to the church. So
that's been a big issue in the conventions and all just this summer, and so I thought that's what the topic was.
Yeah. It's a variety, and it's wherever the group sort of decides for it to go to. Usually start the group off just by encouraging people to introduce themselves and to give a little background information about what your knowledge or experience in the gay and lesbian community is. Either in your family or in your church or individually or whatever. And then to go ahead and maybe throw out a couple of questions that you have, thoughts that you have, and sort of give everybody a chance to express themselves, and then we'll sort of open it up and let a conversation unfold. In that process, of course, you are welcome to pass, or you're welcome to say, comfortable speaking now, or give your first name, or however you're comfortable introducing yourself is great. We have a special edition this afternoon. Joe Nordquist has brought a couple of videos with, and there's about a video that's about 22 minutes long that I think, after we do some introductions, we'll take a look at that video. It's got some individual stories of gay and lesbian folks sharing some of their journey with us, so we'll take a peek at that. I do want to point out some resources that are available here in the village. This is a great place to look at this issue and any other issue that you can probably think of. Holden has been a place of conversation and looking at issues that are sort of on the edge and cutting edge at thoughts and ideas. So we have a resource center that has a number of different materials. Those materials are spread out on that back table. There's a folder entitled Gay Lesbian Issues, number of news articles and letters and pamphlets and just a lot of information. Also on the table, I just pulled out several tapes that are in the Tate Ministry Library. But conversation on this issue has been happening here at Holden ever since probably back in the 60s and 70s. Holden has a tradition of recording sessions, so every teaching session is recorded, so there's a great history of information available there. This afternoon's sessions tape also, if that's an important thing for anyone to know. So that's available for people to sit and listen to and be part of a dialogue, maybe not as directly, I suppose. The table off to the right are all of the books that are available at the Holden Bookstore, available for your purchasing. And there are probably several other books. Those are all from a section that's sort of a gay lesbian section. And there are some other books that are available. So just ask Carol in the bookstore, just sort of take some time and browse around in there. So hopefully you'll take a few moments to take a look at those before you leave also. Okay, I introduced myself a little bit, but again, I'm Tim Hansen, and along with being fire chief at Holden Village and a whole lot of other things in my life, I'm also an openly gay man. I have been openly gay since about 1988. I had a rather lengthy coming out process that I'm sure I'll get a chance to share some different parts with the group. But my life has opened up since I have opened up and been willing to express who I am. I always make a distinction between openly gay and gay or gay, gay. people have asked me in the last couple of years, so are you the only gay person at Holden? I don't know. I haven't surveyed people lately. I'm the only openly gay person that I know at this point in time. But so there's a distinction. People are at a lot of different comfort levels with themselves, and not everyone is openly gay. I'm openly gay, plus I really feel a calling and a purpose in educating and providing a place for people to talk and to learn from one another. So that's a calling that I feel, and it's a gift that I feel has been welcomed and embraced here at Holden Village, being able to keep this conversation alive. So with that, I'll just let us move around the circle.
My name is Brad, and I'm a member of a church which has quite a few gay and lesbian members in Minneapolis. And they are the people who help keep me thinking, keep me thinking about this issue. We have, I think the congregational president is a gay man, and the choir master organist is a gay man, and it's very common on Sunday morning to see two men sitting together in the congregation. And I find myself thinking again and again about this issue, not having arrived at the comfort level of some of my colleagues with a full and open acceptance of gay and lesbian sexuality. So I'm still wrestling.
Okay. Part of this film was filmed at Augsburg College.
Oh, was it?
I'm Fred. I'm a straight male, and I'm here to just to find out a better understanding. I've had some difficulty in the past accepting this because I've seen the gay and lesbian issue run for many, many years, and I belong to a church that openly accepts gays and lesbians, have seen gay and lesbian marriages performed in the church. I've prayed about this a lot in order to understand it. I think it's, at least from my personal viewpoint, is an issue of love and how we choose to love. And I went right back to my roots and I said, all right, God is love. Love is really the most powerful emotion, the most powerful thing in the world. So we're really dealing with something very, very strong here. I do not have pure judgment. I don't know who has, but I'm willing to accept the fact that there are different ways to love.
I'm Joe Marquist. About 20 years ago, I was on a committee for our synod to try to understand sexuality and homosexuality. And we had worked 3 years, and of the 19 members of the committee, 18 came, whether, I don't know how much they had changed from the origin, except that everybody has been raised with homophobic ideas and negative ideas. But 18 of the 19 came very positively for improvement in education and gay rights and gay acceptance. One was a Lutheran Bible Institute teacher and was getting older and eventually got Alzheimer's, but anyway, had a very hard time with this and resigned from the committee. About that time, our son came to us and told us that he was gay, and Marilyn can tell maybe about that. Then later I was on another committee for the synod again, a different synod, dealing with homophobia and homosexuality. And in the meantime, I'm a doctor, but my avocation had been making movies. And I had made movies about Down syndrome babies and about alcoholism, about aging, about people with disabilities, about a father as a nurturing. And with that background, when I was near retirement age, at 62, I started making videos for a company and had access to their equipment and offered to make a video for Lutherans Concerned. And so we made a video called Inclusive Faith, to try to encourage congregations to become more inclusive and to become reconciling Christ congregations. And then this year we made a film called, a video called This Is My Story, that maybe we can see here. The story of six gay and lesbian people and the struggle they went through of negative self-loathing, finally acceptance of themselves. And I do feel a calling, or at least an opportunity to do something to change attitudes. And it's happening. I hope to make a video called How Do You Spell Ex-Gay? And then maybe one about same-sex relationships, because if we can't, we probably will never be able to ordain pastors if we can't accept a committed, loving relationship between two people. And if we can accept a committed relationship, then it will be easier to accept and promote ordination. So that's where I'm at.
Joe, if I can just interrupt for a second. Joe mentioned the group Lutherans Concerned, which is a pan-Lutheran group of gays and lesbians and friends and supporters who work for change and education in the ELCA. And they have a program called Reconciling Christ, which encourages individual congregations to study the issue and then to hopefully eventually make a statement saying that they're open to gays and lesbians to become full participating members of their congregation. So that's called the RIC program. But that's a little bit of background about Lutherans Concerned. They were formed in 1976. There are about 150 congregations across America that are reconciling Christ, along with a number of synods and the campus Lutheran Campus Ministry Association is a number of other groups. Lots of information about them on the table too.
If you like the video and want any of them, they're available through Lutherans Concerned, and we can get the address at $12 with shipping, $3. So they're very cheap.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm Marilyn, and yes, our son told us he was gay, you know, probably 17 years ago or so. And it wasn't a shock, really. It also wasn't easy, but that's the way it is, or that's the way it was. The hardest thing, I think, was that our conservative Christian friends, and we got a lot of them, they're really conservative. And it was hard. I had a neighborhood Bible study group that was interdenominational, and a lot of Baptists, but my goodness, I'd come out of there absolutely shaking sometimes because of the unkind things that were said, and I wouldn't have dared tell anybody at that point that our son was gay. But that's all past, and our friends all know it, and a lot of them don't agree with us, but they won't have to agree with us.
Our Christmas letter last year had both of them. All our children had their pictures on there. Yeah. Stephen and Michael had their picture.
Yeah, Steve has a partner, and he's welcome to any family functions, and any family member that doesn't like it doesn't have to come because Steve and Michael will be there. So.
My name is Erica, and I'm a lesbian. I'm going to be going to the seminary after I finish here at Holden. I'm going to be here for a year. And so I'm really interested in finding out kind of what people are thinking about and feeling about this issue, because I'm going to be out at the seminary, and I hope to really be in conversation with people. I don't want to just be a stereotype or, token member, but I really want to hear what people think and kind of be able to communicate with people. And so this is a good place to start.
I'm Marcelo, and I come originally from Chile, and we as South American society, I think we are far from talking about these topics yet. I think the idea that I had about the struggle of the church in this topic was only what the fundamentalists say. You know, this is the end of the world, these are the signs of the apocalypse coming. So So it is really interesting for me to talk about these things and get to know people. I have friends who are gay and lesbian, and I know what they go through. I know it's not easy, so I kind of feel like because I'm going to seminary, this is going to be something important to deal with. I need to know it very well, so I feel responsible for that. I also feel like I know what it's to be marginalized, and I know what that means from the poverty and from the other things. So I think I kind of feel like I solidarize with someone who is being marginalized. So that also creates in me, I think, an important space in my heart to deal with this. So I'm really interested in that.
I'm Kevin, I'm the head driver here. Been at Holden for over a year. When I came here, I was dealing with some, I should say, lack of clarity, I guess, about my sexuality. But about 6.5 months ago, I fell in love for the first time in my life. It turns out that it's with a man. That was somewhat of a surprise, I think, to some degree. I had another friend that was gay. And so in dealing with that relationship with that friend, I think that helped me to be more open than to discovery of my own sexuality. Holden tends to be sort of a, it has been a safe place to be open, and I'm not sure what I'll be facing when I leave here.
I'm Robin, and I was standing at the kiosk reading stuff, you know, the schedule for today, and someone said something really disparaging about this, you know, when they read what was happening at this time. And I didn't say anything in response to that. And that has concerned me, because I do feel like it's important I felt like in some way I was leading him to believe that I was in agreement, that it was okay to speak that way, because I never spoke anything against that. And so it made me feel like I'm not comfortable enough to share with anybody. And I live in Newport, Oregon. And I'm thinking, you know, there isn't anybody who's openly gay or lesbian in my church, and you know, as far as I know, we've never talked about it even really much. And that was something that just came up when I was here, started thinking about it. So I decided to come just because I felt like, you know, not, I didn't feel bad to say anything. So.
Glad you're here.
Yep.
I'm Carol Lee, and I'm straight. I've been married twice. Oh, you can be married and be gay, forgive me.
Uh-huh.
My son, who's 32, is just now having his first real relationship, and it's with a woman. But for many years, I thought he might be gay, and I talked to him about it, and I felt a lot of uncertainty about his future, and concern, but always love. I spent most of my adult life in Albany, which is across the bay from San Francisco. Albany has a very large population of lesbians, very large concentration of lesbians. And I became accustomed to seeing women walking around the street, holding hands, and, you know, being couples. I had an employee who was a lesbian, and I've had two rather close women friends, one of whom I've known 30 years now, and I have watched her and participated to some degree in her changing her sexual identity. She started out with boyfriends, never married, had two very long-term girlfriends, one of whom was a close friend of mine, and now, she's 60 now, and now she says if she enters another relationship, it will probably be with a man. So, I don't know, here's someone who's, I don't know how to define who and what she is, and I don't think she really does either, mm-hmm. but she's broadened my experience. Now I live in Hawaii, I've lived there 10 years, and as probably most of you know, the issue of gay marriage, or at least rights for gays and lesbians, domestic partner rights, has been a very hot issue in Hawaii. In my church, there are no openly gay people. In fact, in my church, there are almost no single people and lots of heterosexual couples. So it's pretty clear who is what, right? But I don't think we've ever talked about this issue.
Are you coming this way or are you going backtrack?
We'll come
this way. I'm Dwayne McGowan, and I feel we cannot have too much knowledge if we're going to love one another, accept one another. If someone is different than us, let's have knowledge on it. That's where I'm at. I want to know. I want to learn. A good friend of mine, a lady friend, recently disclosed, I'll use the word coming out, I hope that's not offensive, again, this is where I don't have much knowledge, but made public her preference, and I guess that further causes me to want to know more about the subject and what maybe she has had to go through to get to where she's at and this sort of thing.
My name is Gwen. I have four children, and my oldest daughter is a lesbian. She came out, I think it was about 17 years ago for me too, I can't remember for sure, to my husband and I at that time. And it's been kind of an interesting path. But I feel good now that I'm at the place where when people ask me about my children, of course they always say, are they all married, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'll say, well, I have three children who are married, and I have, my oldest daughter is a lesbian and she has a partner. Mm-hmm. And it feels real good to say that. Mm-hmm. I also have three friends right now, three female friends who are exploring their sexuality and just kind of trying to figure out. And they're all, you know, in their 40s, between 40 and 60, I guess. So that's kind of interesting, and I'm going through that with each of them. And as kind of a support person, and we're supportive to each other, of course. So that's quite interesting. The other day when I was in this group, a few days ago, and we were talking about telling the rest of the family, etc. It was interesting. It's our oldest daughter who is gay, and I suppose she was about, maybe 19, something like that. She was away from home, I know. At any rate, my husband and I said, well, will need to tell the children. And she says, oh, they already know. And we said, well, how did they find out? And she says, well, they asked me. they'd had the courage to ask the question that we hadn't had the courage or weren't ready to get the answer for. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of interesting. The younger ones are always so much more open, I think, which is really nice. And hopefully people of my or of all ages will become more open. Thank
you. Did your acceptance take a while, or were you in a
Yeah, it did. Intellectually, we accepted it right away. But there's stuff that has to turn around for a while. And one of my big concerns, of course, was what's everybody else going to say, you know. And so it took a while before I didn't just start blurting it out to friends or anything immediately. But as I was comfortable with it, then I could be comfortable around anybody. So, yeah, it took a little while.
So. Well, I'm Dale, and I live in Woodland Parish in Washington, D.C. And we're a reconciled congregation, and I have a number of friends, including the godfather of my youngest kid, who is openly gay. And I know we have a number of church leaders in our parish who are gay. And I sort of know, but it's not something that we have as a parish ever kind of openly dealt with. I mean, through sort of friends of friends, we kind of know who is, and there's no pretense of gay couples who are together. But there's not sort of recognition or acknowledgement of that. And I think as a person in the parish, I'm kind of wondering if that's how it ought to be. Should we be more explicit and open about recognizing and acknowledging the contribution, the kind of the role that gay and lesbian folks play within their parish, or is it a non sequitur? I mean, these are good people of spirit and they do good things, and whether you're Norwegian or Swedish or German and you're Lutheran, does it matter? And I guess I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think that we haven't talked about it. I think it'd be better if we did, and at least I'd feel better if I was more comfortable with kind of what to do about this. And I guess I'm disturbed at the snail's pace of dealing with this by the institutional church. I mean, the sort of long tome on human sexuality is like not only boring, but I think if it were ever to be acted on, I think it would be disingenuous of God's spirit. So the church and its view on this, I think, is just, I hope they just bury it and forget about it, and people get ordained because they're good and they get a call and they go about their business.
I think a great video would be Reconciling Christ Now What.
Yeah.
You know, churches become reconciled and then they think that sort of all over it. I guess my home church, Cross Lutheran Church in the inner city of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, became reconciled. And the Sunday following their becoming reconciled, and it was done by a full congregational vote, I joined the church that next Sunday. I've been involved in the church for a year and a half, but I've made a pretty firm commitment to myself that I won't be a member of a congregation that isn't open to gays and lesbians and is willing to say so. I won't work for an organization or a business that doesn't take that same stance. I wouldn't be here at Holden Village if they didn't have an inclusive statement about gays and lesbians. Every place that I've worked, I feel I have God-given gifts and talents that are worthwhile and can be used, and I'll find a place to use them. And it won't be in a place where I have to hide or be a half person. But what my church has done is, they, once a year on National Coming Out Day, which is October 11th, or the Sunday that's closest to it, they take that opportunity to have a coming out service. And it's a coming out of the church's service. And the church publicizes that in a lot of different publications and invites gay and lesbian folks and folks that have questions and are struggling with the issue to come and celebrate the willingness to be open to look at the issue. So that's been a nice constant, an annual sort of turnaround, along with folks that are willing to be out. I think that if they feel a safety, a security, and an acceptance within the church, they can begin to express themselves more openly and bring their partners and their families and to talk about issues that they're dealing with as part of the congregation. It's life.
My name is Ann. We live in Michigan in the summer, and we live in an RV park where there are a good-sized group of gay people, and so I have observed them. They are mostly on committed long-term relationships and seem as couples the same as all the rest of us in the kind of things that we have going on, like potluck dinners and all. But nobody has any children around. We're all old people, so that's not, you know, they don't look any different in that respect, but I always think that they, we've never discussed it, not to my knowledge. Like you were saying, the subject never comes up. Everybody knows it, but we've never said word one about whether they're gay or whether what it's like to be in their lifestyle. And sometimes I think, well, what would happen if one of them got sick? Would the other one be allowed at the hospital? And all these kinds of things I hear about, but I would not ask them that. And I was just listening to your comments, and I was wondering, well, maybe it'd be all right to just ask them about their concerns, but I don't think it's any of my business. And so, on the other hand, I was just thinking as this is going around the room, the rest of the year we live in Florida, and that subject is taboo in the South. It does not happen. And
no homosexuality. No, no
way. No way.
Now with Bishop Power.
Oh. No. And so there's a great deal of difference between attitudes in Michigan and in Florida. So I find that kind of confusing too. So I don't know. Anyway, that's where we are. I've just made observations. I don't know anything firsthand.
I'm Bill, and Anna's my wife, and I have rather strong feelings about the appropriate role of homosexual, gay, and lesbian people in the church. And those are basically that they should not, we should not have same-sex marriages, and that we should not ordain practicing homosexuals. But I keep having this nagging feeling that I'm missing a point somewhere. And so I'm open to hear, I think I've looked at the rationale for my belief. I studied the Bible and I feel comfortable with it. And yet I have this nagging feeling that there's gotta be other arguments that I'm not aware of, haven't been exposed to, and I need to hear those and judge whether my attitude is led by God, or whether it's led by some kind of prejudice from, you know, 50 years ago or something. So I'm just trying to learn both sides of the argument.
Thanks.
We're doing introductions.
My name is Jana. I'm from San Diego, and the community over there is the gay community over there is not as big as like San Francisco or something. But it's very well known. I was obviously Andrew Cannon was from there, and there's just one area that's very open, and I like the openness. And I've always been very liberal about people's human sexuality, and I was raised in a home where we follow by the Bible, and that. Although my parents never pressured that it was wrong, I always sensed that they felt it was a wrong thing. I've always been very open, and I wish that more people would be more open about it, and instead of very closed mind and very traditional. I feel that the younger generation is more accepting than about the issue than the older. The older generation, and that's my opinion.
Thank you. Are there any responses or interactions that want to take place before we maybe put on the video? The video is about 20 minutes, and we will have time after that to converse a bit, but if someone has a reaction or a...
I have a question, pretty simple. Do women usually refer to themselves as gay? or lesbian, or is it, or is lesbian the appropriate term? I gotta get down to terminology. And I've never asked my, I never talked with my daughter about it for some reason. It just came up to me.
I usually refer to myself as a lesbian, but I also say I'm gay.
Okay, because a lot of times I will say my daughter's gay, and then I think I've been just thinking about that. Is that appropriate, or do I say she? Somehow or other, it feels lesbian feels more like a label than saying that. Whereas gay seems more like a maybe a condition or well, I don't know if a condition. If that comes off negative, I didn't mean it that way.
It used to be the state of happiness, didn't it?
What? It still does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well.
Certainly
the change of the year. But they can be used interchangeably then.
Yeah. I've thought a lot about that because it's true, especially lesbian. I mean, it almost has a clinical sense to it. And to say I am a lesbian, I don't know, like, it's much more a definition than a kind of
why don't you just say I'm a Christian?
I say that
I'm a
too.
Female, Christian, happy, love other people. Why?
I've
never understood why it is, and I use the term homosexual people, but does that cover both male and female?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Feel it's so necessary to make this point and go around announcing something like their sexuality. Why is that necessary? I guess I preferred it when it was in the closet.
I would challenge you to say you probably didn't have to live it though.
Yeah.
True.
To live in the closet is a dark place.
But
it's a dark place. To hide your identity, a part of who you believe that you are, to suppress that simply to be accepted. In what I would say as a false acceptance.
But is it anyone else's business?
Well, if we would have if we wouldn't have had this session, perhaps you would have left Holden not knowing that I was gay, and I would have left not knowing whether you were a lesbian or whether you were heterosexual.
Yes.
And that would have been fine. That would have been fine.
Why would I care? I mean, you seem like a nice fellow.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be happy to sit down and have a drink with you and discuss whatever you want to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
What difference does it make to me that you're homosexual?
I want to be your pastor. I want to go to seminary and become ordained in the ELCA. Is it an issue yet?
It would be when our committee interviews.
Get in there.
Or if you wanted to buy a house with a partner, would you accept him as a neighbor?
Sure.
A lot of neighbors would.
Sure.
A lot of people wouldn't.
Or he may want you to vote at the next election against the anti-gay issues, and if you don't know this, then you may continue thinking ways that he would prefer you to think in different ways. So if it can be open, now we label people, but sometimes it's important if you're sitting at a table and you're left-handed, people will say, well, why don't you sit here?
Yeah.
So that you, and both, a left-handed person doesn't choose to be left-handed, they just are. And yet we label them because, okay, lefty, come on, and for various reasons. It's maybe partly prejudice.
I think that you represent, with that opinion, a part of society that dealt with problems like that.
Dealt what?
Dealt with problems, with challenges in life in that way, is the typical morality in South America, where, you know, your family is just a mess, but everything seems so nice. Everything is outside, everything seems, oh, this is a very nice couple, but they have lovers for 30 years, they have never slept together for 30 years, but they seem nice. So I think that the challenge of what lesbian and gay people are doing is to be out of that dark place and say, this is something that is happening to me. And I feel respected if you please can take into account and not try to push me into the closet again and shut me down. And just because I feel more comfortable with that. I think when you talk about that, you are speaking about your level of how uncomfortable you feel. And I think that's okay. But you have to see the other side of the picture. You are reacting to that, and that's okay. But think also in what it means for others. That.
Did you have a comment?
Well, what I was thinking is, I mean, the reason why I think it's important for people to say is because the assumption is otherwise.
Yeah.
The assumption, you know, my assumption is that he's heterosexual. Oh, and I mean, whenever you meet somebody, it's like, what do you do? Are you married? Do you have kids? I mean, those are, it's like the very beginning of getting to know somebody is getting to know whether or not they're married. Oh, you're single. Well, you know, I have this really nice friend that I can fix you up with. Oh, I think, right, I think it's none of your business, but as soon as you start a relationship, even no matter how superficial, whether or not they're in a relationship and what their sexuality is, it does play a really important part. I mean, I'm not homosexual, but being a single person, I mean, there's just, that's right there. People are already, well, let's find you somebody. Do you have cool? Don't you want to get, you know, it's all those questions. And I think if I was homosexual and I had to lie about, I'm like, well, you know, I'm just really not looking for somebody. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, to have to lie all the time. And I think it's not, I mean, and I think the hard part is when you feel like it's right in your face, but it's like someone has to tell you that pretty early on in the relationship. I think it comes up because of the way we talk about things.
Everybody
in society.
Wants everybody paired up.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And there's so much pressure for that that I think it'd be really hard. Or, you know, business kind of things to invite people. You know, can you and your wife go out for dinner? Or, I just think that's why I think it has to be, why people can't, you know, and I think if all you just said is we just don't want you to lie about it, it would be out on the table pretty early in a conversation.
And it is a barrier to relationship. I mean, how many people here know someone who's gay or lesbian? Great. Sometimes there's people that don't raise their hand. Everybody should be raising their hand because everybody knows someone who's gay and lesbian, whether they're open or not about it. Everyone has someone, have gay and lesbian folks in their family, in their church, in their workplace, in their community. Gay and lesbian folks are everywhere. And if you don't know folks that are openly gay or that interact with you on a full level, a full identity level, that I think the challenge is to ask yourself, why not? Why is it that I'm not perceived as a safe person or as an okay person for someone to express initially who they are? And to be open about that. If it's something that you have to close or hide from the very beginning, it's a barrier. I guess the other reason for me that it's important to see folks that are openly gay and lesbian is so that we can break through stereotypes that have been ingrained in us for years and years and years. We have a stereotype of what we think a gay man is or a lesbian woman. That was the biggest struggle for my coming out process was, and I grew up out in the country in southern Minnesota, and I knew that I was gay from my earliest thoughts and memories and attractions from when I came alive as a sexual person like we all do in our adolescence. My attractions were always towards members of the same sex. And when I began to learn that meant that I was gay, the only information that I had was stereotypes, was jokes, were stories. And I told myself, that's not who I am. I don't want to go live in the alleys and just sleep around with everyone and hang out at the bars and, you know, those types of stereotypes. What a difference it would have made in my life if I would have known someone in my church, if I would have known one of my school teachers, my school bus driver, sisters, anyone. If there could have been someone that I could have said, oh, there's a role model. Yeah, I'm kind of rather going to be like that person. I had other male role models, and like, oh, yeah, I want to be like them, but yet I wasn't, because I wasn't interested in dating and women and all those other different dynamics. So I think that there is an importance that you can go away from Holden, perhaps having met me. Wow, fire chief, he's a responsible kind of guy. If we talk longer, you find out I went to college, I worked with homeless people in the inner city of Milwaukee, and very involved in my church, and So you begin to gather this information that would maybe fight against some stereotypes, and you could go away from this place going, wow, gay people aren't quite like I thought they were, or lesbian people aren't quite like I thought they were. So to me, that's the importance of being open. And I know that initially it feels like shoving it in people's face. You know, can't you just keep your personal life to yourself? But it's my life. It's more, sure, there are parts of it that are my personal life that I'm not going to share with you and a lot of other people, but it's also an integral part of who I am. And I need to express that as a whole person, as a guy created.
Did you have to play that role in high school, though, with all the other guys about wanting girls and going to get girls? And
I did a little bit, and you know, every time I got into that, it was negative messages to me.
And it wasn't.
It just took me darker and deeper, and just feeling, I don't want to be a liar, you know, and it felt like I was lying. I harassed and treated a guy, his name is Jim, in my class, who everyone just pointed him out as, well, Jim is gay, and his last name is Shay, to make it even a good rhyme, you know. And that poor guy, I don't even know how he made it through high school. I don't know. It got to the point during our senior year where he had to have a teacher escort in order to go into the bathroom. Because he was constantly being beat up. He was constantly having his head shoved in the toilet and the toilet flushed. It was amazing. It was really amazing. And I took part in some of that teasing because I thought, oh, there's a safe cover. No one will ever look at me if I'm part of the gang. You know,
that's very stressful.
Mm-hmm. And hurtful. And hurtful.
And about 2 weeks ago, we were at a funeral of a friend who left our church. The couple left our church because they did not. We are not a reconciled in Christ church, but we do have dialogue or discussions and form sessions. And we were too liberal for them, and they left. And then Harold died. We were at the funeral, and their one son was there, who lives in Germany now, who we did not know very well, and. Just through a misunderstanding the conversation, we found out that he was gay. And my goodness, did he open up to us. Mm-hmm. And he's had a partner for 8 years, and he is not free to bring him there at his father's funeral. His partner cannot come with them. Or when they had a big family reunion the year before, his partner can't come with them because his parents won't welcome him. Mm-hmm. And thank God, when our daughter died 5 months ago, Steve could have Michael there.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that a different issue, though, about whether or not you as a parent accept a child?
It's they're not accepting
the
issue of homosexuality.
Fault. I mean, that's their...
But the church isn't either, their church. And they made sure they found a church that wasn't going to...
Where are they getting their information? Where are they getting exposure? You've been having a comment you wanted to share.
Well, I guess it's a comment about kind of coming out and the militancy that goes with it. And I can appreciate and resonate with guilt. I mean, growing up Lutheran, I'm still trying to get to grow out of it. You know, so I mean, I know what guilt and wearing it is about. I think we all do. But I think I've got a good college friend and a roommate who came out kind of midlife, and I still love the guy as a good friend, and you know, fortunately we got through some pretty rough times, but he was militant out, told me as much, you know, we can't be friends because you don't understand. Mm-hmm. Basically, I don't have time for people who aren't part of my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't pushing him away. I mean, I was, you know, kind of, I even was surprised. I mean, we were roommates for a few years, and he married one of my students, and I was his best man. I mean, I knew this guy pretty well. And midlife, they separated and some other things after a reasonably happy life together. But I didn't really suspect, and our friendship was much beyond sort of superficial. And when he came out, there was so much he was reacting to that he pushed me aside. Mm-hmm. And I think part of, I don't know how this goes with other folks, but I think coming out in your face to people who don't really want or need to know at the first few conversations your sexual inclinations, it is kind of like, what's the appropriateness for this piece of information to come out? Not that it shouldn't, And not that you shouldn't know pretty early on so you don't have to tell lies or cover or something, but maybe this is like one of those pieces of who you are in community that that's kind of doesn't have to be there right off. I mean, I don't know, but I guess that's
you should evolve as you get to know each other well. And too many times it seems that it's too militant, too throw it out, too banners in the head, you know, and march. It's just, I just don't.
There's great.
I don't agree with that.
There's great diversity in the gay and lesbian community as
about this thing. I mean,
right. So there are folks that sure. come out in different ways. That it's a process that really happened. So it's really varied. That makes sense.